Tell me, in Trumos, I don't know if you asked anybody to make a list of the top 10 most famous passages in the Talmud Yerushalmi, this would definitely be there, specifically because there are a lot of people who think that this subject isn't covered in the Bavli, and it's just such a practical question, which, you know, has impacted so many different areas of medical halacha, and especially in the post 9/11 and the terrorism world, you know, as well, you know, handing people over. It's just a fascinating, fascinating Yerushalmi. I think Avishai found it fascinating. I do too. It's also a little bit hard to know what to make of it in the end, and the psak, but that is what it is. Okay, so David, you want to do the honors? So there's these convoys of people, and, you know, the Gayim come along, and they do not come in peace. What can we say, David? Right, so, you know, from a purely ethical standpoint, if you have any halachic guidance about this, it seems like a pretty serious question, right? On the one hand, right, you know, they're saying they're going to kill everybody, so that would be bad. On the other hand, to you know, randomly choose somebody and say, you know, sorry, you're going to, maybe if somebody volunteers, then maybe that's the best thing. There's a lot of evidence for that, but to say, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, or whatever you know it is, rock, paper, scissors, you know, or worse. That's pretty brutal. Like you're killing the guy. So ethically, this is a really tough situation. Again, if you didn't have any halachic guidance, because on one hand you'll say, well, you're going to die either way. You know, either you'll die with all of us or you'll die to save us. So you might as well die, you know, and we'll give you a gold star. Okay, so what's the halacha? Fortunately, we have some halachic guidance here. And better that they should all be killed, that they should actively play a role in killing somebody else. Now that seems to be pretty consistent with, Emmanuel, what we think we know about, you know, the ethics of Yiharek Val Yavor, right? That, you know, Tikuach Nefesh is Doches Kol HaTorah Kula, except Gimel Chamuros, including, you know, Shvichos Damim. So who's to say that your blood is any redder than his? And he, even in the aggregate, right, who's to say that the blood of the Rabbim are, you know, any redder than this one guy? Now, there are some, an honest person has to start wondering. I mean, if there's 100,000 people, you're telling me in aggregate, you know, the aggregate blood of 100,000 people isn't redder than this one guy? And there are certain Rishonim who, the way that they understand this, we'll get to, the sugya of Yiharek Val Yavor, you have to really wonder about that, right? Because it seems to be like a reflection of the fact that it's a chavivos nefesh mi Yisrael, and the fact that we're involved in mitzvos, and I assume that 100,000 people might be able to do more mitzvos quantitatively, qualitatively, than one guy, no matter, unless he was like Rav Moshe Feinstein or something like that. So it's at some point, you'd have to ask the question, right? You would have to ask the question, you know, Safilu kula ne'ragim al yimtzur nefesh achas mi Yisrael. Okay, if it means that we'd have to hand them over. Again, we don't have time right now to get into all of the literature, but there have been huge machloksin about this, like said, in the post 9/11 world. Is, let's say, you know, right, that a plane is flying towards a building and it's going to kill 3,000 people, and you have to take out the 300 people on the plane. So do you do it? Do you not do it? Right, there were standing orders to shoot down the planes on 9/11, even though you'd be actively killing those people to save the 3,000. So huge machlokas haposkim in that situation. What is appropriate on the basis of this discussion in the Yerushalmi? Obviously, you know, as we're going to get to later, right? Nobody on that plane was Sheva ben Bichri in the sense of being a Chayev Misa. But personally, I happen to think it is legitimate, maybe even required to do that. You know, Rabbi Bleich, for example, strongly disagrees with that. But This is what the Yerushalmi says. Like, I agree with Avishai. I think it's endlessly fascinating to really think one's way through the different situations. But in any event, these convoys, they come. We're not allowed to hand somebody over. That's the way that it seems, even for a very good reason. Good reason being to try to save somebody else. Scribe.
Because this halakha also, is this halakha also saying that somebody can't volunteer themselves?
Doesn't say that. Right? Does not say that. So we can't hand them over. You might say, well, by the same logic, they can't hand themselves over. Right? There's murder and there's suicide. On the other hand, there's a lot of evidence that might be a little bit different. Now, this gets into a very delicate area, but it's happened a number of times in the history of the Israeli army, most recently with a person that I would consider to be a great hero of the Jewish people, a fellow by the name of Roy Klein. Anybody know the story? Jimon, go ahead. So he jumped on a grenade to save his soldiers, right? So you might say that's kind of a parallel case. Either they're all going to die, or he'll sort of volunteer himself for death to save somebody else or to save multiple people. That seems like a very noble thing, right? Or is it? So I would say it is, but it's not obvious on the basis of the Yerushalmi that that should be true. It's not obvious altogether that that should be true. You know, these are really very complicated questions, morally and halachically. Okay, so now the Yerushalmi tinkers with the fact pattern a little bit. Yeah, Tavi, go ahead. Okay, so the question is, what changed exactly? So they said, we want Goldstein. Otherwise, we're killing all of you. But if you hand over Goldstein, then only he's going down. And the rest of you... Okay, so... How does that change anything? I mean, what's the difference between them saying, hand over one of you guys and hand over Goldstein? What would the lumdus be? Yeah, Avishai? Right, so maybe at this point you could say something like, well, you're not killing Goldstein, they're killing Goldstein. Well, you have to hand him over... But not so simple. You can hand them over, right? Because then you really are playing a role in that. Remember, the Minchas Chinuch was super focused on this idea of Sheval Tase. You'd still be throwing Goldstein over the fence or whatever you're doing. Here, take Goldstein. So it's not total passivity, but I think Avishai is right. He's basically right. What you're saying is true, right? That apparently it's because they identified Goldstein. So you're not the one who's killing Goldstein. They're really killing Goldstein. Interesting. Now, like, just to, you know, push Avishai a little bit further about this. Well, let's say they said, okay, Goldstein, but instead of handing him over, we want you to shoot him. Would you do that? Right? Because that's a little bit more active than just throwing him over the fence, right? So here, take Goldstein. That's really what happened, the case of Sheva ben Bichri. If you remember, we're going to get to Sheva ben Bichri in a second, but what happened with Sheva ben Bichri? There was siege on the city. What'd they do? They were going to destroy the whole city. And what's that? Yeah, they threw the head over the wall. So they actually killed them, you know, themselves. So it's interesting, when I asked Avishai, I don't know, you couldn't see his reaction, but he said, no, I wouldn't shoot him. Right? At that point, you'd probably go back to... Even though it might be the same thing, right? These things are complicated. Yeah, Emmanuel.
When it says hand him over, does that mean that, you wouldn't actually have to take him by force and give it to him? Does that mean, he's walking, or does that mean, even if he's resisting you, you still have to...
So it sounds like they've got, just imagine, you know, they've got the place surrounded, okay? And they call in with the loudspeaker and say, hand over Goldstein or, you know, we're going to, you know, incinerate all of you with, you know, we have, you know, flamethrowers and drones, exactly. So it would mean, you know, taking Goldstein and throwing him out, you know, of whatever it is, the truck, the apartment building.
If I'm saying it, I wouldn't
Yeah, I mean, if Goldstein volunteers, that gets back to Tzvi's question. Is he allowed to volunteer? I don't know. Right? You wouldn't know from this Yerushalmi. There's evidence in the Bavli, actually, that maybe he is. Something called Haruge Lod. There's a situation in the Bavli where it tells the story of there was about to be a pogrom. Blood libel situation. There was a non-Jewish girl who was apparently violated and killed, and they were going to kill everybody in the city of Lod. And these two brothers, Papa Samuel and Yonas, volunteered, and they said, oh, we did it. They didn't do it. But they decided to volunteer. Tzvi, that's your case. And the Gemara says about them, Ein kol birya yachol lamod b'mechitzas, and they're like at the highest level, because they died so that the many might live. So that's probably the answer to your question. That's the Roe Klein situation, presumably, right? To jump on the grenade. But the Yerushalmi doesn't say. Yeah, Avi.
Isn't that person, like what we just said, isn't that person just saving these lives? Like it's kol sham abe nevesham tas mishal kilo ibed halam kilo. Then Ram goes on to say, all the time that tas mishal kilo kiyam kolam kilo. So Goldstein would be, he might be like sacrificing his own life, but he would be saving countless other lives.
You're talking about in a situation where he's volunteering?
Yes.
Yeah, that seems to be what the Bavli says. On the other hand, you might say, it's great to save a lot of people's lives, but not if you're committing suicide in doing so. Like, how far would you take that? Would you say, let's say, for Goldstein to walk out and then they decapitate him or they, you know, immolate him with a, you know, whatever, you know, a drone strike. You know, there's nothing left. What if they say, here, Goldstein, you have to shoot yourself in the head? Is that permissible? To save the rabbi? How active is he allowed to be in this process? So I don't think it's so simple. How do you look at that? It's like what I said to Avishai. Like if once they're miyached, Avishai said, well, they're the ones killing Goldstein. But let's say they hand you the gun and say, kill him. Hand us his head. We give you 5 minutes. Hand us his head. Is that allowed? Yeah, Shimon.
Would we be mechalik between if he like giving when he can give himself up to save people between saving a few people versus saving
lives? It's you have the Yerushalmi in front of you. It sounds like there are a lot of people that could be saved, right?
So
we can draw the line between 5 and 10,
like
100,
or
million.
I mean, would we say that because of this case? It could only be if he's saving the rabbi, and if so, what number is considered the rabbi?
Right. It's a very important question. Do you see any evidence in the Yerushalmi and Trumos to be mechalik, let's say between 2 and 2,000? It's a hard argument to make, right?
Yeah, but maybe the idea about single one guy, and they say, the guy say, like, you guys pick anyone, and then we'll kill him, and we'll let the rest of you go. So it's come from maybe the aspect of meeting with the rabbi.
And so the Yerushalmi clearly says that's us, right?
Yeah, but it's saying like where it seems like the reverse, like the rabbi are almost like giving themselves up to save.
Well, in this case, they're just, you know, it's Shev Al Tase. They're just remaining passive. But which I'll just give you some inside information. All of those questions are taken very seriously, especially if it's a question of Shas Melchama, and, you know, sort of like there's a lot to be said for that. But if you're just staying true to the words of the Yerushalmi, it doesn't seem to make a difference whether it's 5 people or 5 million people. So this would be an ethical imperative here. And some people are real purists about that. Like I mentioned to you, Rav Bleich thought it's clearly prohibited to shoot down the plane. Because you're murdering 300 people. I don't care how many people you're going to save. His understanding is, when the Gemara says, means that you can't play God. You can't say, this guy's life is more important than that guy's life. You can't say, this guy's life is more important than those 10 guys' lives, or that those 10 guys' lives are more important. You just can't be involved, you know, unless it's a situation of Rodef, unless it's a situation of Chiyuv Misas Bezda. Okay, so I see there are a million questions. Let me just take one last question, because otherwise we'll never make it through this Yerushalmi. It is endlessly fascinating, but you know, we just have to cover a little bit of ground here. So Micah, yeah.
Would there be room here? Because in Goldstein's Agada, either way we go, whereas before, if we were to choose one way to kill, we would pick one person to kill. So Goldstein had a 1 in 5, whatever, 5-7 shot. But now, Goldstein for sure, either way, we go. So.
Yeah, that's what Avishai thought. I'm just saying, like, I was trying to push Avishai into it a little bit. I'd be curious to hear what you think about it, too. That's clearly the difference in the case. But, I don't know, if somebody said to you in that situation, all right, they said they want Goldstein. So, how far are we allowed to go with that? Does that mean we say, hey, Goldstein, walk out, but we're not willing to throw him over the fence? We're willing to throw him over the fence? Let's say they said, okay, Cyrilna, kill Goldstein. We give you 5 minutes. His head has to be here in 5 minutes. Is that mutter?
I would say yes.
Right, so you say go all the way, right? What's the difference? Okay, so let's see. All right, so let's get back to the Yerushalmi. So Reish Lakish says, hey, you can't do that, right? It's only the guy is already chayev misa. Right? You can't have any role to play in putting somebody to death, even if they were miyachid him, it's still you who's participating, unless he's already chayiv misa, like Sheva ben Bichri. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so Micah and Avishai are saying, it's like, well, you know, you didn't choose him, they chose Goldstein. Avishai wasn't so sure he'd be willing to kill the guy. Micah said, you know, I don't need 5 minutes, I'll get it done in two. So, maybe that is the halacha, right? It's an act of hatzalas harabim. I'm not saying you're wrong. You know, there's a lot to think about here. Okay. So then the Gemara goes on and tells the story. So this guy, Ula Bar Koshav, so he was on whatever you call it, like, you know, the dead man list, the red list, the hit list. So he runs to Lod. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the rabbi in the town. So this is always a very difficult situation when you're the rabbi in a shul and the goyim are surrounding the shul and demanding that you hand over one person to be killed. It's a stressful day in the rabbinate. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, you know, is in this situation. You know, came home from Maariv that night. His wife said, how was shul? I said, well, stressful. Okay, so... So what happened? Right, so they surround Lod, right? They have it under siege. Okay, so they say to the citizens of Lod, let's say this to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, you know, as the rabbi, okay, either everybody's dying or hand over Goldstein. In this case, Goldstein's name is Ula Bar Koshav, okay? So they were miyached him. All right? Now, so Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, as we saw, we have to assume that Ula Bar Koshav doesn't have any, you know, he's not Sheva ben Bichri. So Reish Lakish would say, don't hand him over. Rabbi Yochanan would say, you could hand him over. Generally speaking, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, right? So let's see. Ah, so this is the ambiguity here. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi goes up to Ula Bar Koshav and he's mefayes him, he appeases him via Have loan, and he hands him over to them. So there's a lot of ambiguity here based on the scribe's point, because you could read the Yerushalmi as saying that Ula Bar Koshav in a sense volunteered. It doesn't appear that that's the case. Maybe he was just mefayes him in terms of saying, like, I wish it didn't have to end this way, but there's really nothing we can do. Really sorry, but I think that seems to be the pshat, the Avilon. Okay, so in any event, you know, they kill Ula Bar Koshav, and the citizens of Lod live to see another day. Okay, so how did it turn out for Rabbi Shua ben Levi? So Avaliyo Zachar Latov. Right. Fortunately, a problem that I don't have, So, you know, Eliyahu HaNavi used to like hanging out with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and then he boycotted him. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi got canceled for doing this. Like, you know, handing over Ula Bar Koshev, despite the fact that he didn't volunteer Ula Bar Koshev, right? The Gayim were miyached him. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was feeling pretty badly about being canceled by Eliyahu HaNavi. So he decided to pray and to fast, and, you know, Eliyahu HaNavi is a much bigger merachim than, you know, sort of like the mainstream media. So he actually discanceled him or whatever, resubscribed to him. But, you know, that will never happen in mainstream America, you know, because God knows if somebody did something wrong when they were 13, then basically, you know, they're dead forever. Especially if it was a joke. So, you know, all right. Tzam kam etzomen v'izgalile. So, like, Eliyahu HaNavi resubscribes. So, Amalei. So, Eliyahu starts giving him a servant. Masoro sani legla. You're a masor. You're handing over fellow Jews. Right, which is part of the reason, Svi, I say, that he really did hand him over. It wasn't like Ula Bar Koshev said, okay, I guess I'll go. Sounds like he handed him over. So Amarlai says, didn't I follow the halacha? The halacha being, according to, we had a machokis, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, so who should we paskin like? Rabbi Yochanan, we should paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. I paskin according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if the guy isn't chayav misa, but they were miyached him, so I'm going to hand them over. It's not my fault. I was just acting to save the city. You know, my congregants, but not only my congregants, including all those who boycott my shul. All the guys in the breakaway minion, I saved them too. I was, you know, okay. So, Eliyahu HaNavi says to him, ah, v'zo mishnas hachasidim. What do you think that's? It may be the ikar hadin halacha, but is it appropriate? It's like, you know, taking us back to our lifnim mishuras hadin days. Okay, so let's pause here for a second and go to the Rambam Hilchos Yesodei Torah. This is a very famous psak. So the Rambam says, this is the 16th source. Right, so the Nashim surround, right, a Jewish city, and they say, hand over one woman so we can rape her. And if not, right, then we're going to, you know, rape everybody. You know, they can't, just like killing somebody. Remember we saw that Hekesh, Kikasher, Yaakov, Mishal, Yehu, Zachon, Ebesh, Kenedav, Rezeh. So just like you can't hand over somebody to be killed, you're not allowed to hand somebody over to be raped. Okay. V'chein. So it sounds like the Rambam is paskening like Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish. Ah, but not only that, then the Rambam takes it a giant step further by saying, not only do we not paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, you could say, oh, well, that was the Mishnah's Chasidim thing, right, that Eliyahu HaNavi was saying, you know, Rabbi Yochanan might be right, but we really wouldn't paskin like him. But then the Rambam ups the ante even further, because what does he say? So this is even more machmir than Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, if he's chayef misa, then you can hand him over. And the Rambam is saying, but not lechatchila. Wow. So everybody wants to, we're not going to get to this in great depth, but just you have to know. So everybody wants to know. The Rambam, first of all, seems to be possibly Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. That is partially understandable based on the Mishnah's Chassidim point. But then he takes it even further, but he says it's really like a halacha of the Morid king. You really shouldn't rely on this. Better that everybody should be killed. Vimeinu chayev misa, then there's nothing to talk about. Yihargo kulan, and Shimon, it sounds like I don't care if there are 5 million people. They all have to die. Val yimsulam nefesh achas miyisrael. So this is not Micah Cyrilnik taking down Goldstein. Right? Even if Goldstein were a chayev misa. Wow. Yeah, Abishai, go ahead.
Mishnah's chassidim would be to have everyone killed, including the
you know. This world is not the only world, you know. Hatkinatz v'chabe prozder, k'deshet dikanis l'traklin. Go into Olam Haba, at least not being a murderer. There are limits to the value that we place on this world, you know. Very controversial. Okay, so all this is sort of on background. It's very fascinating background, critically important background. But now we have that last piece of the Yerushalmi, which seems to be the Safek Sakana Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha point. Okay, so it's very helpful to see it in context. Everything about this Yerushalmi is fascinating. Everything about it became very, very, very famous. So here's this last line where it seems like we have the Safek Sakana case. All right, so, and again, it's a person, you know, who's on the record in this area, namely Reish Lakish, is the protagonist. Okay, so David, go ahead. Okay, so Rabbi Isi was taken by ISIS, basically. You know, it's really bad. It's looking horrible. And, you know, Rabbi Yonasan says about that. I'm Rabbi Yonasan. Right, not a very optimistic line. He says, you know, start getting the tachriche hames ready. We might as well start preparing for the funeral. This man is toast. So that's very important in terms of the Gemara. This isn't just recording, you know, Rabbi Yonasan's lament, but it establishes. Right, remember the Kesef Mishnah that goes to Maimonides' reading of the Yerushalmi, which is that this guy. Right, Rabbi Isi is bivadai sakana. There's no question that this man is going down. So here you have a vadai sakana, and the question is, should anybody do something about it? Okay, so I'm a Reish Lakish, the same Reish Lakish who, by the way, said, you know, you can't be handing people over unless they're absolutely chayev misa. So Reish Lakish is a big machmir. Generally speaking, in this sugya, you know, you can't allow people to be handed over. So I'm Reish Lakish. Ad the anakatal, even if I must kill, or even if I have to be killed. So he leads like some kind of an Entebbe raid, Bechela. Now Reish Lakish may have been uniquely qualified for this mission. Why do I say that, Shimon? I think robber is putting it lightly. Gangster. He knew he was. The Gemara speaks about him being very competent with lethal weapons. So you know, I always wonder about this Yerushalmi. Did he sort of get the band back together? Is it like? Reish Lakish had this whole team of guys, and you know, probably hadn't seen them in quite some time. Like, you know, some one of the guys was named, you know, like Chains. Like, hey, Chains, it's me. How are you? It's like, good, but any chance you're around? Yeah, sure. What do you have in mind? So, yeah, well, we have to go. There's this rabbi that I know. Oh, really? So Reish Lakish, you know, he calls him up and, you know, he goes with his squad, right? Okay. On the Ezel, Mishalzit, Mishizavle, Bechela. So what happened? So Azal, so he goes with, you know, chains and bones and, you know, whatever the fellows from back in the day. Right? It's a reunion. Ufaisan, and Mufayis, you know, obviously literally means that he would just, like, you know, sort of appeased, you know, the ISIS members. But we all know they were probably appeased at the edge of the sword. So, okay, you know, this can end one way or the other. So why don't you let Rabisi go, right, via Vunule? And they hand him back over. Okay, so here this is Reish Lakish being Nichnas L'Safek Sakana, because you have to assume that he could have died. In fact, he said so. What did he say before he went on the mission? I might kill them, they might kill me, but, you know, we're not going to take this one lying down. He was in favor of the military option. So, Chayav Adam Lachnis Asmo B'Savik Sakana, Kidei Lahatzos Chaveru B'Vadai Sakana. And it worked. Everybody came home to tell the story. So that's the... That was the Yerushalmi that set the world on fire, right? The Milchas Chinuch and everybody else, you know, where the Kesef Mishra says, yeah, because Isi was a Vadai and Reish Lakish was only a Safik. And that's the Psak of Dagos Mebunios. And the Sma, let's just, you know, put it on the record and then give the general a word here before we circle back to Ram. So the Sma, you saw the Sma quoted. So over a low sum, but goes to my money is kasi yushami masik. Beis Yosef Zal. Okay, so he's the Beis Yosef quotes this. We'll get to this tomorrow probably. Venira shatamu mipnei shalavadai v'hu safik. Like we saw in the Kesef Mishnah explicitly. So gamze yishmitu amechaber v'arama. Mishum Hachi. Right, so this is a Yerushalmi, and even though it has some support, the Kesef Mishnah, and that goes to Maimunios, and it made it into the Beis Yosef, as we'll see tomorrow, it didn't make it into the Shulcharach. And you know why? Because even Rav Yosef Kara wasn't willing to pass that way. You want to know why? Because the Rambam, the Rif, the Rash, nobody thinks that you have to be Nichnas Asavik Sakana, even to save your friend who's certainly going to die. Redocha this Yerushalmi. Wow. Interesting. I mean, other elements of the Yerushalmi seem to be Aliba de Hilchasa, right? That's why I wanted you to see the whole Yerushalmi in context. For example, that whole discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Veino Mishnas Chasidim, it sounds like the Rambam is passing like Reish Lakish plus, right? Number one, he has to be Chayef Misa to hand them over, and even so, it's not really the Lechatchila thing to do. That when Eliyahu Navi said, V'chizo Mishnas Chasidim, what he meant was twofold. First of all, he has to be Chayev Misa. And second of all, even so, you shouldn't have done it. Better to let everybody in load go to Olam Haba, you know, righteous. Not be shy, have a bloodbath. You know, is that really the right thing? These are hard decisions. These are very complicated decisions. Okay. So, again, Tzvi, the one situation that we don't have explicitly covered in the Yerushalmi is your case. Let's say this fellow, Ula Bar Koshev, you know, had been willing to go. Okay, Avi.
Isn't that their chayav to put themselves in a Safek Sakana in order to save someone in Vadai Sakana? Because it seems like Rabbi Yonasan is saying, like, oh, we can't really do anything about this, and it's only Reish Lakish has gone. Like, if it was a chayav, but it seems that even Rabbi Yonasan would be also
going. Right, it seems like, I would say it's a machlokas for Rabbi Yonasan and Reish Lakish, and, you know, the Kesef Mishnah and the Gaos Mimunios are passing like Reish Lakish.
Could it be like a
Yachal
Atzilah situation, like Reish Lakish kind of knows how these things go?
So, I'll tell you something. There's a very prominent Achron who wants to say that. That wasn't really a suffix by him. He knew how to size up the forces. You know, he had been down this road before. And, you know, there's always some risk, but yeah, he wasn't too worried about it. To me, if I'm reading the Yerushalmi, it seems to me like Reish Lakish legitimately thought, maybe I'll kill them, maybe they'll kill me, but it's unacceptable. So I'm, you know, we're going to war. So what you say has a lot of merit. But I don't think it's a simple reading of the Yerushalmi.
I would say that it's not that it wouldn't be a Sevek Sakana for Reish Lakish, it would just be a Vade Sakana for Rabbi Yonasan.
Oh, you're because Rabbi Yonasan has no skills.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you could. It certainly depends on the person. There's no question about it, right? That we're going to see tomorrow. You know, for sure, you can imagine a situation being Vadai Sakana for one person, Savik Sakana for somebody else, and for another person, not a Sakana at all. Right? Depending on, you know, there's a gorilla that's attacking the five-year-old, right? So if you want to throw yourself into the cage, presumably that's a suffix sakana, right? If you want to throw yourself into the cage and you're, I don't know, 6 years old, I would say it's even worse than that. It's a vada. I don't think there's any chance that the six-year-old can take down the gorilla. If you have, a bazooka, so I would say there's, you know, and you know how to operate it, I would say there's a relatively minimal sakana involved. Yeah, it always depends. General.
So, if I remember correctly, in the case of redeeming somebody, there's a different one between a rav and someone who's not a rav. So couldn't we say that's similar to what's happening here? That what we see is like, you know, it's the status of a rav, and therefore we do a little extra to try to stay.
Yeah, you could say that. Tosfos and Gittin, Daf Mem Zayin, make that case. So you have to make two assumptions. First of all, that's really what's going on in the Yerushalmi, to read that between the lines. And second of all, you'd have to say that Pidyon Shvuyim is really the same animating principle as Lo Samet Al Dam Re'acha. And that, I think, is a big assumption, because remember that Gemara that you're referring to, it seems like it's a Takana Derabanan, right? In Podin Es HaShvuyim, B'yoser Michdei Demehen. Because then you're just incentivizing them to keep on taking people captive. Right? So, the Bali Atosos say, does that Svara really apply to, like, the Gadol Hador? It's not just a rabbi, I would point out. The Bali Atosos would have let me go down in jail without a problem. But they say, of the Gadol Hador, the thing is, the whole Svara of the Takana Derabana doesn't really make sense. Because there's only one of these guys anyway. So even if you'll, like, you know, pay top dollar to ransom him, like, we're not so worried about them coming back for, you know, Yankel Schumeister tomorrow. So that has its own dynamic to it. Interesting, as you know, in light of all the questions, is that the Maharam Rudenberg decided, nonetheless, to be machmir on himself. Remember? He wouldn't let them ransom him. So he felt he had the right to be machmir himself in such a situation. Really interesting. Okay, so there's obviously a huge amount to discuss here, but tomorrow what I'll try to do is...
Will Eitan Vogel please come to the main office?